I do now is come together with Laura Brotherson, of course. Always nice to have a friend join me, especially Laura, as every Thursday. Hi, Laura. Welcome.
Hello.
Good having you here. As you know, Laura is the author of And They Were Not Ashamed, and she is a certified family life educator and also has a wonderful website. Check that out, www.strengtheningmarriage.com. So I think I've given everyone heads up, Laura, that we're talking about sexuality today. So if they've got little ones in the car, or if they have little ones in the house running in and out, occupy the children, or just go ahead and turn the channel, but only temporarily, because the subject matter is so good and very much needed. I'll tell you what we're going to discuss today, the power of touch. Part of Laura's book, Chapter 12, and also how to feel amorous. You know, so many of us have all these roles that we play as wife, mother, educator, volunteer in the community, worker, career person oftentimes, and you've got yourself going in so many different directions that sometimes you don't really feel like a very sexual being, and yet that's an important part of who you are as a woman and certainly integral to a marriage.
Yeah.
And you hear that complaint a lot, Laura, that women say, I'm not in the mood, or I don't really feel that way about myself.
Yeah, I get a lot of emails from women that are just like, I just don't feel like it. I'm just not ever in the mood. How do I get in the mood? I want to be in the mood, but I'm just not. And
wonderful. And so we're not going to talk about hormones so much today. That's one thing to check out. I mean, I'm an advocate for that. That's not a bad place to start to get hormone levels checked, because they change as we age, and they change day in and day out according to the cycle that we're on. But right now we're going to talk about things that are in our control outside of that, about getting in the mood.
Yeah.
Should we start with a chapter on the power of touch?
Sure.
Because everybody needs that, right? Babies die if they're not touched.
You're so right. I mean, the power of touch. Touch is a universal need that we have, and we often forget about it. We just, you know, we hug and touch our children and our babies, but we kind of stop touching as we get older, and our need for touch never goes away.
It doesn't.
So, I mean, we just, you know, I remember the story of the research that was done on all the babies in the orphanages a long time ago, and how so many of those babies died of what they called marasmus, or failure to thrive, because they were just not touched enough.
Mm. You know, when I was in private practice, I would always suggest to someone going through a divorce or going through a breakup, and that's you in the listening audience, you'll go even get a massage or be around family. Allow yourself to touch and to be touched, because it's integral to who we are. It's something that just really reduces your blood pressure and your heart rate, makes you feel grounded, and makes you feel valued. And we all need to feel loved and valued. So even if it takes a professional massage, or go to the massage school, do something so you keep that touch up. I love that. What else about the benefits of touch, Laura?
Well, it's so funny just that you mentioned the massaging and stuff, because it's just interesting how much the chiropractors and the massage therapists are being, you know, increasing, having a lot more visits, because people are so starving for touch that it's pretty sad if we have to go out and buy it.
Isn't that something we may not even realize? That's why we're going.
Exactly.
But there is that innate part of us that just never goes away, as you say.
Yeah.
Okay, so the benefits. What are the biological, psychological, and social benefits?
So many. You know, it develops our sense of self. It's a way that our children understand who they are and how to feel about themselves. It builds self-esteem. It creates safety and security. It does so many things to heal us in a lot of ways, you know, like you said, biologically, socially, psychologically, you know, physically.
Yes.
But I just remember anytime my littlest guy has got a tummy ache, he always wants me to rub his tummy. And it's almost as if touch has the power to transfer healthy energies between people. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So my strength, my health goes to him. And I've experienced this so often personally. I remember once I was at college and very sick for a week, and a friend came by just to see how I was doing, and she brought me a muffin or something to eat, but she said, "Laura, is there anything I can do for you?" And I was just in tears because I was so distraught about being sick and missing the last week of school and whatever. And I just said, "Oh, Amy, can you just hold my hand?" And she just sat there and held my hand for, she missed her first two classes, I think, that morning. And I just literally felt her power, her strength, and it was so helpful to me.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me a bit, actually.
Sure.
You know, and just the endorphin rush that we get.
Yes. And, you know, you think about even someone that's in a hospital or is experiencing any kind of pain or sadness or loneliness, that the power of touch has the ability to block some of our pain sensors and replace them with pleasurable sensations. And so that's why some of the research that I found for that section was, you know, medical doctors look at touch as a form of, as an antidepressant, because it increases those endorphins you're talking about.
I can imagine. You know, we were talking earlier about premature births, and that's got to be the hardest thing for a mother, not to be able to touch that new baby. And Jamie Anderson was in here, and she said, you know, I finally just had reached my limit and finally said to everybody, you know what, you're going to have to hold all of the lines and everything that you need, because I've got to hold her now. It was a week earlier than they wanted her to. Perhaps that's why Navy also did well. I mean, you know, I don't know. There's so many things. Truly a miracle baby. But I can't imagine being void of that touch of your newborn, first off. And I can only sympathize with Jamie just saying, you know, okay, I reached my limit. I got to hold that baby now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that did something very positive for that baby, Navy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing how touch-deprived our culture is, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
I was stunned when I saw some of the research that I found, but one study...
I want to talk about it as soon as we come back, okay? Yes, hang on to that. So are you touch-deprived? You know, when was the last time you got a great hug? When was the last time you reached out and hugged somebody else? Love hearing from you on that if you have some thoughts. It's always better when you join us. 1-888-362-1820. Dr. Liz Hale here with Laura Brotherson, certified family life educator. She's the author of And They Were Not Ashamed, Strengthening Marriage Through Sexual Fulfillment. You can only imagine the impact this book has made on those many people who have read it. And she has got the testimonies to prove it. So I'm so happy she can join us. So enjoy us. Stay close. Call in 1-888-362-1820. I'll be right back now. So it is Liz here with Laura Brotherson, certified family life educator, and she's the author of And They Were Not Ashamed. It's all about strengthening marriage through sexual fulfillment. It's a book I highly recommend. And Laura is my guest here every Thursday, I should say, 10:30 to 11:45. And we're talking today about touch, and right now about touch deprivation. And thanks for the research you did on this, Laura. What did you find out, those who are not touched very frequently?
Wow, it was just fascinating to find this particular study where they went and did a study of American teenagers American young adults probably in a coffee shop for an hour. They wanted to see how many times these American friends would touch each other in an hour. Well, it comes to find out Americans touch each other twice in an hour. And here's what's amazing. Then they looked at French friends, and they did the same study for an hour. French friends touch each other 110 times an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
And
okay.
Puerto Rican friends touch each other 180 times per hour.
How about that?
So that just gives you a little taste of how touch-deprived our culture is, and that we've got to switch that a little bit so that we're not so starving for touch we need touch like we need food, like we need water, like we need air.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not getting enough of this non-sexual, loving touch.
I know. We're all afraid of sexual harassment. We're all afraid of entering someone else's space. I'm very touch-oriented, and I know I've offended people in my life. They don't like to be touched, especially by me or by someone they don't know, I guess. But it's just, it's hard for me to kind of hold back that. It's just so natural for me to do. But some people are just not very touchy-feely. They prefer their space. They don't like to be touched. Maybe it's something that happened to them, or maybe it's just in their genetics, just in their personality.
Well,
but even then, I think we still perhaps need to warm up to the fact that it is so crucial to our existence and to our connecting with other people.
Yes. Liz, you know what's so funny about marriage is that you know darn well that generally you've got a touchy person that marries a non-touchy person.
Yes. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it something?
But see, this is the beauty in marriage. This is one of those divine designs, because it's one of us has to learn to be more touchy, and one of us maybe needs to learn to not be so touchy, and it's part of the growth that occurs in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, a lot of times I've had people email and they'll say, how do I get more touch? How do I give more touch? Because of these, you know, concerns you've mentioned. But, you know, there are so many ways that we can be more touch. I mean, because you can get touch nourishment just from, you know, patting someone on the shoulder or...
Oh, man, I love it when someone does that to me. You know what I mean? When I'm working alone at my desk and just a friend comes by and gives me a pat, or it's like, oh, something about that just feels so good. It's not sexual.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, thank you for that. And I might rub my shoulders for a second. It just feels awesome. And I'm hoping to those listening that it does feel good to you. It ought to feel good. It's instrumental to our growth and development, and we never outgrow it, as you were saying.
Yeah.
You remind us in your book, Carrie, that so many times as parents we say, now don't touch. Don't touch that. Don't touch this. Don't touch. You know, isn't that message interesting, just the don't touch message?
Yes, we give that a lot. And, you know, it's another term that I found that they use for this touch deprivation is something called skin hunger. And that really, I think, helps us to identify how significant of a nourishment it is. I quite a few stories that I share in my book, but one of them, I remember a woman said, Laura, I would brush up against people in the grocery store, in the mall, just because I was so starving. She was she was single, living alone, and just she was dying for it, and she consciously was aware that she was starving for it. And just how amazing that is that we can need it that much. You know, and the other another thought I had about what you just said is very often when some of us become very touch avoidant,
yes.
You know, that's kind of a term that we use as well, it's touch avoidance. Very often those that need touch the most are those that are most resistant to it. Think about your teenage boys. Think about, you know, whoever that is so resistant and just, you know, really freaks out about it. They need it more. And so sometimes, particularly maybe as parents, we have to be a little bit creative to figure out how to give that touch, even though it's being avoided. That can be even, you know, going into their room at night and giving them a soft kiss on the cheek to say I love you while they're asleep if needed. You know, whatever you need to do to add touch.
Yeah, teenage boys will typically say, Mommy, rub my feet or rub my shoulders. You bet. And we have to take advantage of that as women, don't we? Or as parents, even fathers doing that. Because I think that father and son touch, that must even be more difficult, right? Because men don't touch. There's the homophobia feelings that sometimes we have, or the fear that we might be that way. So fathers, same thing. And even fathers with young teenage daughters, as we've talked about on this show, sometimes as they start to develop, these young girls, fathers get terrified.
Yes.
They get terrified as they think, oh my goodness, if I notice her development, I must be a pervert.
Yes.
There must be something terribly wrong with me. And then they avoid touch of any sort.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the studies that are done on particularly the touch or the association and the connection between fathers and daughters and mothers and sons. This is a significant factor in the, you know, premarital sexual behavior of daughters and in pornography issues with sons as well. So that's kind of interesting to think about as well, how important that touch is for them. And like you said, we almost stop touching our sons even in, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. And then usually we stop touching our daughters, particularly when, you know, puberty begins.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be able, but I think just by being conscious of it, very often we can move beyond that and go, okay, I need to still be loving. And one of the great ways I tell people is, you know, if you're going to church, sit close to each other, be touching. If you're, you know, sitting watching TV, sit close and touch. Don't sit on another chair. If you're walking somewhere, hold hands. You know, I always grab my kids' hands when we're walking into the grocery store or walking in to do errands or whatever.
Great to take advantage of that. We're going to grow up so soon, and pretty soon it's not okay to hold hands, right? But to find other things that are appropriate, like going in their bedrooms and giving them a foot massage or rubbing their legs. Yeah, that's wonderful. We're going to talk about ways to feel more amorous when we come back. I'd love to hear your stories on how you've done that. Stay close. Welcome back to this last hour of Thursday. As always, I have with me on Thursdays Laura Brotherson. Is a certified family life educator and author of Also, and They Were Not Ashamed, Strengthening Marriage Through Sexual Fulfillment. Welcome back, Laura.
Hi.
Check out her website, www.strengtheningmarriage.com. She's always updating that website with tidbits, little facts, and ideas to jog your creativity as you create more of a wonderful and meaningful love life within your marriage. So it's wonderful to bring this to you. I'd love to hear from you. Many of you will email those questions. Maybe you're a little more reluctant to go on the air, and that's okay. You're welcome just to enjoy listening. If you'd like the email address, it's lizh@utaham820.com. So it'd be fun to hear from you. Every Thursday we do this format, so you can be somewhat prepared if it's a subject matter that you just don't really want to hear about, or if you have or changing the channel temporarily, but coming back at noon for Ask a Woman. But again, today we're talking about the power of touch, and Laura's book, Chapter 12, is all about that. And what happens when we are touch deprived? You know, we all need touch. Babies don't thrive without being touched. It's not that different for adults either. We need touch, and it doesn't have to be sexual touch. I think sometimes, Laura, when people hear the word touch, they automatically think, oh gosh, my husband only touches me when he wants to make love. You know what I mean? It's that touch that women need all day long. They need to be feeling that amorous feeling all day long with a compliment or maybe a hug from a husband. Or a little pat on the back or pat on the tush even is fine. For some women anyway, that's fine. But something that says, oh, I like you and you're mine and isn't this wonderful?
You know, Liz, it's interesting. One of the other studies that I came across too was, you know, very often our need for touch, we misunderstand it and we think it's actually a need for sex.
Right.
And so very often, particularly with maybe teenagers or whatever, they feel like they've got this feeling and they think it's a sexual desire. But very often, because of the touch deprivation kind of culture that we live in, they will really just, it's almost more socially acceptable to get engaged in premarital sexual activities than it is to ask for a hug.
And I know, that's so true, isn't it?
Very sad, but this is what one of the researchers found. You know, she talked to all of her group, her teenage groups, and they said, yeah, that's true. That is what, you know, we want to be touched. We want to be held.
There's something more intimate, Laura. Is there? It's more intimate to touch or to hold hands, look at each other. I mean, anyone can have sex. We've talked about that. Yes. But very few people can really create that emotional intimacy.
Yes.
The intimacy that makes your marriage, your relationship last through time.
Well, and the interesting thing about what she found, too, that should make us think is that if we're feeling things like restlessness, depression, stress, anxiety, aggression, midlife crisis, sexual desire, loneliness, stomach hunger, we might want to think about if it might be that we are not getting enough touch. And I tell couples very often, I'll say, guys, listen, so that you're both, because, you know, very often it's women that think they need that non-sexual touch the most, and very often they do, but men need it too. And so I will often say, guys, schedule a night, Sunday night, whatever, schedule one night where there's all the touch that you want, non-sexual, that it has no strings attached, so that you learn to disassociate touch always having to lead to sex, because that really takes away the gloriousness of touch in itself, and it helps us to be able to learn to enjoy that pure pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that certainly we've all talked about, Laura, how sex is that way of a man to say, okay, so this wife who really wants me sexually is saying, you are more important to me than anything else in the world.
Yes.
That's the message loud and clear. So then touch, going back to just touch, non-sexual touch, do you think that means more to a woman than a man? Or do you think that's men maybe just needing to get in touch with the feeling of that non-sexual touch and how that can really be beneficial?
I think
it
has more to do with our different wiring.
Okay.
Because I do believe that both men and women need that touch equally. I really do. It's just that some of our cultural conditioning leads us to think that it's sexual desire that they have. I mean, you know,
that's much more manly, right?
It's more manly, yes, to want to have sex than to want to have a hug.
Yeah, you know? Very good.
So we have to kind of switch that cultural conditioning.
Man, our poor guys, I tell you. They have more cultural conditioning than anyone, I think. Well, I guess we as women do, too.
We've got a lot, too, Liz.
I was going
to
say, society tells us how we need to look, right? How we need to be, that youth and beauty are both magnified and glorified, rather, and touted as more supreme than someone who's normal looking, right? Like myself. So then men also have the antithesis.
Not normal looking.
And men have the antithesis then. They have to be brawn, to be tough, to be sexual.
Yes.
And then they face things like impotency. You know what I mean? That's another demasculating or masculating thing that happens to them, as well as asking for a touch. Yeah, I get it.
And women are taught that good girls don't. So, you know, we both kind of have some of that cultural conditioning going on that's detrimental. You know, the last thing maybe to say about this is I always encourage couples to take the touch test. I call it the touch test, where you just look back over the last 24 hours. How many times did I touch my spouse? And it can be non-sexual or sexual, however you want to count it. And this can also apply to your children or to your nieces and nephews or whatever. And just look at how much touch is going on. And if it's once or twice a day, you need to figure out a way to increase that.
Yeah, do you have any goals for us, or just to increase it? That's the goal, probably, right?
Just to increase it, because, you know, very often when I did this touch test myself, just for myself,
yeah.
I was stunned. I thought, oh, I hug my kids a lot, and oh, I'm loving, and da-da-da-da. And I was stunned at how little, in the numbers, I was actually touching them. I remember once I asked my son during a personal parent interview, I said, honey, am I giving you enough hugs? And he sort of said, yeah, but he hesitated, and he said, but Mom, sometimes when I don't, he was only like 8 or 7 at the time, and he said, but Mom, sometimes when I don't get enough hugs, I feel lonely.
Bless his heart.
You know, just broke my heart, and I thought, I've got to be more aware of how much I'm not touching and strive to do it more.
That is interesting. Some of our kids, we just naturally touch more often. I mean, I think we could just bring that out, right, Laura, that some kids are maybe more readily available for a hug,
yes.
Easier to hug, perhaps, more like us, less like us, whatever.
Yes.
You had talked about something very early on when you and I first started talking, and that was about the love language.
Yes.
And asking your children, finding out what their love language is.
Yes.
And is it physical touch, or is it the service, or the gifts, or appreciation? And there's one other one I'm missing. But nonetheless, you found that out about your kids. You had that. Is that the same little 8-year-old boy who liked more hugs?
Yes.
He sounds like a very sensitive little guy.
Well, and the thing that's interesting makes it easier for parents is that young children need all of the 5 love languages.
Yes.
It's usually only until they get a little bit older that they start to differentiate into a specific form. But our children need to hear that they're loved. They need to feel the hugs and the touch. They need little gifts. They need words of affirmation. They need all of the quality time. So they really need all 5. And so you almost are doing pretty well by any of them. But it's always vital to ask them specifically what they like.
Oh, very good. Anything else about touch before we take a break and come back?
I think we're good. Just make sure that we're getting enough non-sexual touch in our marriages as well.
Wonderful.
Not just always have it attached to sex.
So enjoy those scalp massages, foot massages, back rubs, pats, loves.
Holding
touch
hands.
Touch on the cheek. Yes, holding hands. And let your partner know. I think sometimes as women, we're not very good at using our voices, Laura. We're not very good at saying, oh my gosh, I love it when you hold my face like that.
Yes.
Or I love it when you rub my neck really gently, really slowly. That feels so good. We just have to, I think, communicate and articulate what we love.
And Liz, what a gift that is for our spouse. For us to say, oh, honey, I so love it when you do that. Instead, we just, you know, they do something we like, and we just think, oh, I like that. But we don't say it, like you said. And by teaching them what makes us feel loved, we just increase their chances of being successful at loving us the way we need it and want it.
So key, isn't it?
How wonderful is that?
I think typically we're better at saying, oh, please don't do that. That hurts.
Exactly.
Don't. No, I don't like that. Versus saying, you know, what I would love, though, is this. Or what I would like is putting your hand here on this part of my back. Yeah,
yes.
Excellent, Laura. So fun talking shop with you.
I love it.
It is just my delight. So when we come back, I want to hear from you, listeners. Are there ever times when you just feel like, oh, not very attractive? And this is not about weight or beauty or youth. This is just about feeling that inner sense of being a woman. If you relate that to being sexy or amorous or attractive, whatever it is, but can you relate to that? Where sometimes you just don't feel like you got it all together? Yeah.